Welcome to the Liverpool Rumours podcast, where myself and Edo One will be going over the Man City game, the Bordeaux game, and the Swansea game. Why does my girlfriend have to call me right now? It's just fate, isn't it?
That's okay, just ignore it and carry on.
Yeah, okay, decline. We're going to be doing Man City, Bordeaux, Swansea, and yeah, I'll let Ed tell us how he is and kick off the podcast.
Well, starters, I think we need to say rest in peace to Jerry Byrne, one of the true Liverpool legends. I'm sure you'll remember watching the 65 FA Cup final, obviously a bit before my time, yeah. But he played for the entire game with a broken collarbone and helped win us the first history. So well done, Jerry, and hope and peace and my condolences to your family.
What was Jerry like as a player then? Because obviously people my age haven't a clue, really.
Well, I thought you'd know more than me because I never saw him play before my time.
How? I'm 24. You're 69.
You just look older.
Yeah. I feel older.
It's that uphill paper round you did.
Right, let's get into it. Man City, what do we think of that game?
Well, what can you say? I mean, coming back off the international break, and we just destroyed them. And I know people are going to say they were missing company, they were missing Silva, but, I mean, they were just completely outclassed and outplayed.
Definitely.
It's one of the best performances. In fact, it's the best performance since 2013, I think. I can't think of a better one. Last couple of seasons, fantastic performance. And I know the first goal was an own goal, but a 4-1 win either way is still a great against top of the league at the time and again, and clearly the best side in England, Man City. I mean, you just can't find any bad points in that, can you?
That's it. I don't mind the own goal neither, because you know, like, you work for that. As long as I was always taught, get the back four running towards their own goal and anything can happen.
Exactly.
You know, so
exactly.
Yeah.
You put the ball into a dangerous area in the hopes that if one of your players doesn't get it, one of theirs puts it in. And we saw that again today. It nearly, you know, nearly transpired into an own goal early on. You just got to put them under pressure and running back and you never know what can happen. So, yes. And Skirtle's finish.
Great
that was
volume.
Some finish on that one.
Oh. Do you want to go through all the goals individually then? Obviously, we had the Mangala one. The next one was...
Which Coutinho was... The...
Coutinho was second, was he?
Yeah, Coutinho was the second.
And then... I can't even remember it now.
I can't remember that. Aguero and Skirtle won the third and... their first and their only one, I mean, and our fourth one. Firmino's and Coutinho seem to have gone out of my mind altogether.
I think the Firmino one was when he tapped it across to him off the back heel into Coutinho from Cannes.
Yeah, I can't remember it being... There was that one really good piece of play, Chan back heeled it. Wasn't that the Coutinho guy? God's sake, it's been so long since we've done one.
He back-heeled it into Coutinho, and then Coutinho poked it onto Firmino, and I thought maybe... that's it. And then Firmino one was... He was harassing the centre-back, and he headed it on, and Firmino got to it, and then sort of did a cross from just outside the box into Coutinho, and he nutmegged Joe Hart. That's it.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. We had quite a few other chances as well. Hart had a storming game, which is unusual for him lately because he's been terrible for most of this season, making some really bad errors. And yeah, against us, he seemed to be able to stop everything.
Yeah, definitely. Firmino had like 2-3 one-on-ones, didn't he?
Yeah. But you don't mind when you win 4-1. You don't mind those kind of things happening at the end of the day.
It's true. They got absolute bossed. And then, obviously, Aguero scored. And it was a great goal. I think Lucas could have done a tiny bit better. I think he got turned a bit easy. But then again, it is Aguero. You know, it's hard against the top players, but that'll come.
That's why he's special.
Yeah, and that's why that come from Mignolet and Skirtle pissing about and neither were clearing it properly.
Yeah, though to be fair, Skirtle had a good game, so, you know, you can't really have a dig at him in that game, apart from that one instance.
It's the instant that cost us, though.
Yeah, true, but then he made up for it with a, you know, with that,
with his
that
goal.
Finish, with some finish, you know what I mean? So you can't be too hard on him.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, I mean, we were the better team by far and fully deserved a 4-1 win. How often do you get to say that?
Not too often. I went to the Bordeaux game, obviously, going to Bordeaux. That was a good crack, good game to watch. You know, obviously Benteke looked lively, had a couple ruled out. But I'll tell you what, before the game, I just want to bring up a little thing, I'll put it on my Facebook. When they come out for the warm-up, our boys were doing their warm-up in our half, and, you know, near the cop end, and Bordeaux warming up in the other side, the side I was in. And basically, Klopp come out, and he stood on the halfway line. He just crossed his arms, and he stood watching for about 25 minutes, half hour, watching Bordeaux warm up. And I took a photo. I thought, how long is he just going to stand there? And he just watched their whole warm up. I didn't bother with the Liverpool warm up. So, what do you reckon the thinking is behind that?
It's probably just having a look, see if anybody's, you know, carrying knocks or anything like that. You know, looking a bit leggy or anything. So he could target them. You know, if someone's showing poor touches, things like that, looking a bit rusty, anything like that, then he'd be wanting to tell the lads to target them. I don't know, he's making sure all of them are out there warming up, and it's not like Chelsea, where only half the team goes out to warm up these days, apparently. I don't know if you heard about that. Costa didn't take enough for the warm-up today.
Well, yeah, he had an hamstring thing, didn't he?
No, Costa just didn't bother going out to warm up before the game. And then he threw his bib at Jose when he didn't get brought on as the substitute. So,
I see that bit, yeah.
he's got to be gone, hasn't he?
I hope so.
To be out.
I think on that thing, though, Klopp, I think there's more to it than just eyeing them up. I might be looking into it too much, but I'm thinking these players from Bordeaux must respect Klopp for what he's achieved in the game. And I wonder if he does it to make them look at him and, like, take their attention away from warming up or being switched on and listening to their coach. You know, because they obviously must see him watching them. And then, you know, 15 minutes in, he's still watching you. They must, like, mention it to each other and sort of get distracted that Klopp's watching them. Do you know what I mean?
You think it's a bit of the, like, Shanks used to go and stand in the corridor when they were coming in and that, and saying to him about how, you know, having a look at the other team when they were coming in. Before, you know, when they were coming into the match, like, you know, going into the changing rooms. And he'd be looking at them saying, oh, you don't look well, son, and stuff like that to the opposition team, putting them off before they get in.
Yeah, I think he's just trying to get in their heads. You know, and on the other side is, like, similar to what you said. He could have gone into changing rooms and said, hey, watch out for that one. He looks a bit lively down that side. Or attack this one. He looks a bit leggy and not up for it, you know.
But I just think, or he looks like he's not running smoothly. He could be carrying a knock, so target him.
Exactly. I think it's just, it's different, and it's cool to have a man like that in charge. But that was just something I noticed. Another thing I noticed whilst I was there, recording the song, where are the flags?
You're not allowed to take flags in anymore, are you? Because of the health and safety rules.
Really?
It's not a Liverpool thing. No, it's league-wide, I think, if I remember rightly. It was something to do with you're not allowed to take them in for I'm sure I read somewhere about it because it was a big hoo-ha about it.
That's pathetic.
Yeah, it's the way the world goes, though, isn't it?
So we're never going to see Shanks's flag no more up in the cop?
Apparently so, yeah. There's some kind of issue with it and it's not allowed to happen anymore, for now anyway. Unless the rules get changed. Which hopefully they will do.
I can't see what danger a flag is, to be honest.
I can't remember. I read about it and I was reading it and thinking to myself, I just don't believe this. You know, it's just one of these ridiculous things they did. Yeah. Yeah, well, that's, you know, nothing we could do about it, is there, Sam?
There is. I could write a really angry letter.
Yeah, you do that. I would suggest you do that.
You know I can be venomous just with my words.
Yeah, but I don't know you can write.
I'll tell you my venomous words and you put
it
down.
You'd have to type it. You'd have to type it because I don't think you're capable of holding a pen, are you?
Not with these
kids your
age
don't use pens, do you?
I'll tell you what, my writing is absolutely horrible. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I can believe that. So anyway, are we going to actually talk about the match?
Yeah,
because obviously
one?
There's one thing we have to mention.
In what, the Bordeaux game?
Yeah.
Was it...
You know what I'm talking about, surely.
I'm just trying to think.
Is it goalkeeper?
Oh, shit the bed, yeah.
What the...
I couldn't believe that.
I was screaming at the TV and...
22 seconds, weren't it?
Oh, I don't know, I counted really slowly in my head because I always count in anyone when a goalkeeper takes hold of it because obviously, you know, from being at the game, when you're at the game, you're used to doing that because you want to scream at the ref if the opposition keeper's had it too long, you know what I mean? Ref, you know, in the hope that they'll hear you when you're at the match. So when you're not, it's just a habit that stuck with me. So I'm sat there and I'm thinking, at six. And I'm counting slowly and I'm thinking...
You can only count slowly.
Yeah, because the stroke wants to get past.
Forget... After
I'm really
10.
At six, so I don't get it swung when they've held it that long.
Once you get past 12 and run out of fingers, yeah.
I got to 16 and I'm at this point... I'm just like, I've just got my head in my hands going, I don't believe this. I don't believe I'm watching this. Just, you know, and the swear was getting a bit carried away at the TV and he was still holding on to it. I can't get over how stupid that was. I mean, that was just the biggest, the most stupid thing I've ever seen. You could understand 10 seconds because you've not kept track and you think you've held it a bit long. You can get away with that.
But, well, I'm a goalkeeper, ain't I? And I never think about it. I pick up the ball and I come to the edge of my box and I kick. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you did something with it.
You don't just sit here
and look around and point and...
I wouldn't know what to do for 22 seconds. Do you know what I mean? It'd be like awkward holding on to that ball that long. How did he not realise what he was doing?
Well, he must have known because he was bouncing it and stuff. So he was obviously thinking, oh, well, I'll get away with it because I'll bounce it. No, you won't.
I think he's just...
still got hold of the ball. That counts as having hold of the ball. Otherwise, someone could just kick it out of the... You know, when you bounce it, someone could just kick it away. But they don't allow you to do that anymore because that counts as you controlling the ball. Just throw it, kick it. There's so many things you could do. It's just the most stupid, pathetic piece of paper that I've ever seen. And I'm making it the best times, but I just...
Hold on, stop a second. Connection's gone a bit tits up. We'll leave it right, recording.
It's stopped in the middle of that rant. Anyway, before it got carried, where's I going to come?
Hold on, a tick. Connection very slow. Let it just ride out. We apologise to our viewers right now. Obviously, Tristan has to put 50p in the meter to run his internet.
Somebody's calling. That's what it is.
That's
it. Your dad's sent a call. I just can't start off. I can't. I'm going to send a message.
That's still being a bit blur. How's that?
Is that better?
I think you're back in the room, yeah.
Oh, no, he's doing it again.
Do you want to go?
I've sent him a message now.
Why didn't you...
Hopefully he'll read it.
Why don't you just invite him into this chat and we can find out what he wants?
He probably just wants, because I was saying to him about a few... I was asking if they had any ideas of ways to shut out. Because they... looks like we're going to have to postpone the wedding a bit because of money. So I was asking if they had any ideas, you know, for ways to sort out cheaper weddings or ways to raise money or anything like that.
Well, it sounds like connection sorted.
Right.
Where were we?
We were just... Well, I was just on a rant about Mignolet, weren't I?
Oh, wow. Carry on.
So... Yeah, basically, it was just utter ineptitude of the worst kind I've ever seen. If it was in any other walk of life, doing something that stupid would see you sacked. End of for that, you know what I mean?
Mm.
It's only because he's a footballer, he's still got a job. I mean, he's been hopeless for a while. It was just appallingly bad. There's certain things you can understand, a flap cross or a missed cross, you know what I mean? But that is just, it's just moronic. And yeah, we was lucky, considering they scored from that, he was lucky we went on to win, really, because otherwise, could you imagine the abuse he'd be taking?
We
hadn't won that.
I was quite shocked he didn't drop him for Bogdan. I mean, Bogdan came in for the Bournemouth game and played really well, made a few good saves and was quite dominant in the air. And
he was much better with his feet.
Yeah. So why doesn't he get a game when when Mignolet makes an error?
I really don't know, because Mignolet's a little man. Bogdan isn't that much better, is he, I suppose? So I don't know. It's just the way... Must be a reason behind it.
There's not much difference between them. So if one makes an error, the next should be in. And then when he makes an error, the other comes back in, you know, and that's called competition for places.
Yeah, managers don't tend to like drop keepers, though, do they? They tend to stick with them through thick or thin.
Don't see the point myself, because there's no point having a number two to press. Like, everyone talks about getting a number two that could push the first team goalkeeper. What's the point if you're not going to get a game, even when he makes mistakes?
Yeah, I agree, but yeah, that does seem to be the way it goes.
It won't encourage Mignolet to get better. If he'll think, oh, I shite last week, at least I'll get to play again this week.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how stupid I was to cost us the goal.
Exactly.
I've still got my place. Yeah, I agree with you, but that's the way managers are with keepers. They always are.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't get it either, but...
Might as well give Bogdan a go, do you know what I mean? Like we say, there's not much difference between them. It's not like he's going to cost us a result, really.
Well, no more than Mignolet does, so... it's not like Mignolet's not costing us anything, is it?
Yeah.
You know, it's not... It's regularly costing us goals, so... Well, we're playing better now. Let's just hope it carries on and we get the replacement we're after in the January or summer, or Ward turns out to be the superstar he looks to be.
Mm. So, result was 2-1. First goal was soft penalty, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that Ben tacked the arm on Ben. It was a penalty.
Was it?
You can't really argue the decision, yeah.
Obviously,
he did definitely arm across, pulled him and took him down, but he went down rather easily, you know what I mean? He went down for a penalty.
We didn't get a replay, obviously, in the ground, but it looked like to me that the ball was you know, Benteke wouldn't have reached it anyway.
He wouldn't have, but that doesn't matter. That's not what the rules... The rules don't say anything about that. They say it's a foul. You know, that's it. I do think it was a soft one, and possibly out of 9 times out of 10, that wouldn't get given. But I think they should be given, because then you'd soon stop all this pulling and pushing and arms around in the box. Because we saw one today that should have been given and wasn't, where Ashley Williams had Benteke virtually in a bear hug at one point and got nothing. And you're thinking, well, that was more of a penalty than the one against Bordeaux. Yeah, he didn't give it. So, yeah, you know. It was, by the rules of the game, it was a penalty.
Okay.
Soft. Very soft. And you wouldn't have expected it.
But at least the referee was consistent, cancelling out Benteke's goal.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, shame though.
Yeah, it's shame, but you know, at least a ref. You want a ref to have a go at the, you know, the handling and the grabbing. Then, you know, we got that pen. We have to have that goal ruled off. You know, can't have it both ways.
Yeah. You can't argue with his decision. He tended to see every physical contact as a foul. So he was giving them it wasn't so much that he was favouring them as that he was giving every little bit of physical contact as a foul. And as we were the stronger, more physical side, they were getting all the decisions, but most of the decisions, I should say. But he was fair, he was consistent, so yeah, he can't really complain at the end of the day.
And then Benteke's goal.
Yeah.
Nice finish.
It was the tap to the side, wasn't it?
And there's the cross come in, it took a touch, and it sort of half volleyed and absolutely smashed it past the keeper.
Didn't control it to the side of him. To himself, you know, knock it back across himself and hit
the way he's facing, yeah.
Yeah.
Nathaniel Clyne whipped it in.
That's right.
His first touch got away from him a little bit, and you know, defender almost
That's what
got
I was
to
trying
him.
To say, yeah.
Yeah. No, great strike though, after the initial touch.
Good finish.
It's where's behind the goal for that one? It's behind the goalkeeper before he could really do anything.
Can I ask you something, as you were at the game and you might have spent a bit more time watching him than you see on the TV sometimes? Was he ecstatic as he looked, as lethargic as he looked on the TV?
He did come wide and he did show for channels, but I could see why he maybe stopped making their runs, because Jordan Ibe, I thought he was really poor. I thought he did the same thing every time. Of trying to cut in. He'd slow down and then cut in. And he just weren't passing, so I think Benteke sort of stopped bothering.
Why has Ibe suddenly developed this fetish for slowing things down, getting the ball and stopping and then running?
That's it. And I was saying this because he did it. He did it once. He kept doing that, cutting in, cutting in, cutting in. We're just getting fed up. You know, a lot of the fans around me are getting fed up with it. And then there was one where he just pushed and went. You know, he kept his speed up and he beat the man. And I think, he got a half-decent crossing or something positive came out of it. I think he got a corner, you know, instead of getting to the man, stopping and then trying
today,
to beat him.
The penalty came from him just hitting the ball into the box.
Yeah.
Crossed today, yeah, he crossed it into the box and Neil Taylor jumped up and turned his back, which to me... people are going to... It was a soft penalty because he turned his back, and I know it's supposed to be a deliberate one, but he put his hand up to protect his face and turned his back. So he didn't need to protect his face because he'd already turned his back anyway. But you turn your back to a ball being crossed in, and I'm sorry, but that should be a penalty if it hits your hand, because you shouldn't be turning your back. First thing you're taught is you face it up, and if it hits you in the face, you just take it and get on with it. Man up, you big... I mean, Neil Taylor's the worst fullback in the Premier League anyway. Absolutely dreadful. But see that.
We're not on the Swansea game yet.
Go back to where were we? Bordeaux.
He's on about Benteke's movement. How did you go from that's a penalty to Benteke's movement?
I think you're talking about, because you went on about eyes.
Well, yeah, so I think because I weren't passing, Benteke stopped making the movement. So he was running channels at times, but then other times he wasn't. So he could have looked lazy.
Yeah, but what you want from your players, even when it's not coming, you want them still to make that movement.
Yeah, but it wasn't coming at all, mate. It wasn't coming at all.
Still, that's what you've got a bad attitude. Even if the ball wasn't coming, he'd still make the runs.
No, I'm with Benteke, man.
I'm sorry, but you're lazy if you're doing that, because even if you're not getting the ball, you're still forcing the defence to react to your movement.
Jordan I would still doing the exact same thing every time, whether Benteke come wide or not. He cut in every single time. He must have got fed up and thought, what is the point? What is this lad doing?
It's not a bad attitude if you get him fed up and not make him run.
I don't think so. I think it's bad. I thought Jordan Ibe was really poor. They moved him over to the other wing and put Milner on the other side. And what was the first thing Ibe did when he got the ball? Now playing at right wing?
Left wing, isn't it?
No, he started on the left, kept cutting in on the right.
Sorry, yes, that's right. Yeah.
Moved over to the right, and the first thing he did was cut in on his left. I couldn't believe it. I just want to see him be more direct and pass a bit more. But, yeah, so the long-winded answer to your question. Yeah, definitely. Always get him to the byline.
But the point is, like I'm saying, what Benteke does shouldn't rely on what his teammates are doing. He should be doing what he's doing, regardless of what's going on.
I'll tell you...
Because the minute you stop making those runs, the space stops being created for the others.
I'll tell you one thing I didn't understand. I was on the way home, and I see the four Man of the Match contenders, and Milner and Allen were involved. And then my mate's telling me Allen had a good game. I'm like, Allen, when you watch Joe Allen, he's a coward. He hides in midfield.
Yeah, he didn't have a bad game, but he didn't have a good game.
His shots were pathetic. He had two efforts at goal. They were pathetic. He hid in the midfield, rarely showing for feet. It was always down to Lucas to show for feet. And I thought Allen was really poor. And then Milner, me and my mate were talking about, you know, how much time Milner spends on the floor, flying into tackles, half-hearted tackles, getting booked, and, you know, just how much time he spends on the floor.
Because he can do so much more, but it's like the choice is on, do you chase back and harry the player and try and force them into an error, make them do something, or do you just throw yourself into a challenge
and give away a pointless foul?
Give away a foul. He'll choose the foul every time, even when there's no need to give it away.
Yeah,
and he gets for nothing so many times. It's ridiculous.
I thought he was really poor on Thursday.
There's a difference between like Lucas and him doing it. Milner's got the pace to keep up with these players. He doesn't need to, you know, and he's not normally in a position where if the player goes past him, it's in a dangerous place because he's normally out wide when he's doing it. So you're thinking, all you've got to do is stay and harry them. And this is a guy that's supposed to be a real workaholic. But he always seems to take the lazy way out.
Yeah, I think he is lazy, just throwing himself in on the floor at feet, you know.
Yeah.
It's lazy.
Yeah, it's weird because he runs so much. So he can't be lazy as in, like, he's not a lazy player, but his thinking's lazy. It's always like, take the easy way out. It's weird. I just don't get it, because it's something you just don't associate with Milner. You associate hard work with him, and yet he's always looking for the easy way out. It's bizarre. I don't get it. At least he's starting to pick up his form a little bit, though. He's not been as bad. He was poor against Bordeaux, but nothing like as bad as he has been. Nothing like as bad. And then today, he wasn't too bad. Again, still wasn't what you want. You know what I mean? He was still not good enough, but at least he wasn't poor. You know what I mean? He had an all right game. So, you know, some of his stuff was quite good. Some of his stuff was Yeah, and he did start to do the lazy stuff again towards, you know, towards the end of each half. He started to get lazy again and sloppy. But he wasn't too bad, though, for most of it.
Mm.
The main issue today was a bit... Oh, sorry, we're still on Bordeaux, weren't we?
No, I think we're ready to go over now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the problem today was definitely the major issue was Lallana.
What was the matter with Lallana?
It's his usual. You know, he takes so many touches. I mean, somebody summed him up perfectly on the site. He takes a touch, then, you know, another touch, then another touch. There's passes on, but he carries on taking a touch, then another touch, then he dribbles a bit more. Beautiful touch. You know, there's all lovely, silky skills. Runs up and down, works so hard. His touch is brilliant, but he's just running and running and running when there's pass and pass and pass on. And you're thinking, just play a pass. You know, there's somebody going in, making a run for him, and he'll take another touch, look around a bit more, do a little flashy skill, and then he'll lose the ball. Or he'll give it away for a bad pass. And you're thinking, just pass it. You know, at one point, we had a break on. He's got 40 yards of space ahead of him with two or three runners, I can't remember now off the top of my head. And instead of playing a pass to one of them, you know, to push the ball so you're getting the quick break, play the pass to him, then sprint up there so they can lay it off to you if need be into the space that you're running. Because obviously you run a lot faster without the ball than you do with it. So we could have sprinted up there and made the, you know, kept the pace of the attack up while covering 40 yards without needing to run with the ball today. Instead, he ran with it. He dribbled all the way up until he lost the ball. You know, he gave the attack, lost its impetus, like, because he didn't play the pass early. He hung on and hung on and hung on and then played the ball, and it's like, well, it's all gone now. You know, they've had time to adjust and sort out who's picking up who and stuff like that. You're thinking, just play the bloody pass. Just want to shake him and just make him see what he's doing. Because he's got fantastic ability.
Mm.
He just doesn't know how to use it. It's frustrating. His touches, I mean, some of his control and his little skills and that, they're sublime. They're absolutely sublime. But then he just wastes it by taking too long on it.
I love Lallana.
I like him. He works so hard. I mean, he's always chasing back, harrying defenders, harrying their midfield. You know, he's in there throwing himself into tackles. He works his socks off. And I really want him to be a success of all the players.
Do you not think Klopp would tell him to move the ball quicker?
I'm sure Klopp is telling him, but I think it's just the way he is. He doesn't make up his mind quickly enough.
No, I don't. I wouldn't put it like that because he is a quick-minded, smart guy. He sees a
on
pass.
The ball, but he doesn't play it. He sees the pass. You can see him.
Maybe he weighs up the options. Maybe he's weighing up the options.
That's what I'm saying. Dithering. It's not dithering as in like he's thinking, oh, what do I do? He's looking, seeing, I can see three passes. Which do I take? And he's trying to decide. Rather than saying, I see a great pass there and taking it.
You may look at a pass that we all see on the TV and we're all shouting, you know, put him in. But then he might look, oh, chances are that ain't going to get through. So
the great players see the pass and make it happen. He's not good. I just don't think... His passing's not good enough anyway. He constantly gives the ball away when he passes it. Mostly because he's did so long on the ball, taking so many touches. He said he's allowing the defence to get back into position to pick up their men. You know, he'll make a lovely bit of skill that breaks space and puts a defender out of position, or two or three sometimes out of position, and he's creating a space that he can use by playing a pass then, and he'll take another touch, and then he'll look around and he'll take another touch, and he's thinking, you know, now they've had time to all get set again, and you've just wasted all that work you've done.
Hmm.
And it's a shame. Like I said, I desperately want him to succeed, especially with him being an Evertonian. You know what I mean? There's nothing better than seeing an Evertonian succeed in a Liverpool shirt. So you can rub it in when, you know, when I'm speaking to family, the Evertonians, those black sheep that we have, you know, all the family. We don't like to admit it, but there are a few Evertonians in the family, sadly. And when you're speaking to them, you want to be able to rub their nose in it. You know, Nicky Barmby, when he did well, and Jamie Carragher, you know, he used to be an ex. So, you know, saying things like that to him is great. So, you know, you really want to be able to rub their nose in it about Lallana. But when you just, yeah, who have you got this in Evertonian at the moment? Adam Lallana. All right, okay. It's not really, you know, it's not really rubbing their nose in it because they don't care that you've got him.
I'll never change my view on Adam. I think he is quality. I do agree he does hold on to it a bit too longer. But I think we're a much better team with him in the side.
I think his hard work helps, but I think we're better off with Firmino and Coutinho in tonight rather than him. I think you could have taken him out and put Coutinho in instead of him, and we'd have been a better side. And
The other player? You'd have Oi playing.
Yeah, because his pace still worries them and made them sit back. I know he makes mistakes and he's not the finished article, apart from the fact that his cross created the goal.
You cannot have Oi over Lallana.
Can every time.
You
he
can't.
That's awful, man.
Oib is absolutely offering nothing and hasn't offered much all season.
He created the goal. So how is he offering nothing?
What, today?
His cross that created the goal.
So he's won a penalty in this season.
Yeah, but that's
basically
more than Lallana did today. How many penalties, you know, how many chances did. You've got to say that his pace is causes the
opposition. He doesn't know how to use it, man. He don't know how to use his pace at all.
But it's still there causing the problems.
I've got a lad on my football team, he's absolutely rapid, but he doesn't know what to do with the ball. And I've got another lad who's rapid, but he knows what to do with the ball. And that one scores a hell of a lot of goals, and the other one doesn't. Pace is nothing if you don't know how to use it.
I know what you're saying, but right now, Lana's just not helping us the way we're playing when he's going forward. Whereas he's creating space. So he's allowing players like Coutinho.
Who started in the away Chelsea wins and Man City wins and played really well? Lallana, not Oib.
Right, he's not playing that well. He was awful today. And yet he works just like a Trojan. Brilliant. In that respect, defensively, he's the best player we've got, probably. Absolutely brilliant. He's up and down, up and down, up and down. But it's just he's holding his back when we're going forward. And if we're going to be a top side, he needs to go.
No,
we can't keep. You know, we can't keep him and Milner and Klein are a weak link for the team that wants to win things.
Did you just say Klein?
Yeah, he's still.
Oh, will you get off of Klein's back, man?
I'm sorry,
Klein.
He's just
Klein's a solid fullback.
He's not though, is he? He can't defend.
You can't name three better right backs in the league.
That doesn't make it any good just because the league's full of rubbish right backs. But I probably could if I actually had to think about it. Who else?
Like, no, it's Popmaster, three in
twice
ten.
The right back he is.
Bellerin.
So there's one already. Yeah, Bellerin's twice the right back he is.
Really?
Zabaleta on form is the best.
I'll give you Zabaleta, but I won't give you Bellerin because Bellerin's a bit of a clueless chicklin. He's just rapid,
play.
That's all.
No, you haven't watched him playing, I'm sorry. If you think he's a clueless chicklin.
His positioning's horrible.
It's much better than Klein's. He's a good player, Bellerin.
Bellerin just makes up for his lack of being in the right position with his pace.
I would rather have Martin Kelly at right back than Klein.
No.
At least he can head the ball as well.
Yeah, but at least Klein can offer something high up the pitch.
He doesn't know. Today he wasn't too bad, I've got to say. He was much better today, but he still just doesn't offer anything going forward. He can't cross. And that's a major worry when you want a right back getting forward.
Crossed for Benteke's goal last week. He crossed for Benteke's goal on Thursday.
Yeah, You know, that's one cross out of how many?
Yeah, but that's one assist for a right back in the last two games. I didn't see bloody wingers getting assists. I didn't see James Milner putting any decent crosses in.
James Milner did.
When?
You know, he created one of the goals against Man City. Wasn't at least one of them was from his cross, wasn't it?
No.
In fact, aren't you misremembering? Wasn't he the one that crossed it in for the Benteke goal?
When? No, that was Klein.
I know he's definitely crossed in goal in because
crossed in for the disallowed one. That's what he did.
Ah, is that what I was thinking of? Yeah. Might be, you're right. But he's better so than you're giving him credit for, Milner. And you know I haven't rated him, but his cost for me is decent. Seamus Coleman I'd take every time.
Yeah, I do like Seamus Coleman.
To admit that, like, but yeah, it would take.
I love him. I think he's a hell of a fullback. Zabaleta and Coleman, then I'll give you them.
Aspilicueta.
No,
I know he's playing at left, but no. That right back he's very good. No, player.
He's not better than Klein. Sorry, but if he is better than Klein, he would be pushing Ivanovic out of the right back position.
No, that's just because Mourinho likes his favourites. You know he does. He likes the big, tall guy. He's a bit like Pulis. He likes the big guys at the back.
Yeah, but Ivanovic has been absolute woeful this year.
It doesn't matter. He's over 6 foot tall, and that's what matters. Because Mourinho doesn't like to have defenders that don't have the height. He likes to have big men in their fullback positions, like Pulis. Same thing. They don't like to have short men in the fullback positions. I don't. They just like to have the solid banks of four that can all head the ball away.
That aside, though, you can't put a player that's playing at left-back ahead of Nathaniel Klein in the right-back.
When he plays at right-back, he's excellent.
He's not better than Klein. Come on, give me another one.
Yes. I'm sorry, but he is.
No, give me another one. I'm not accepting that.
I'm sorry, but he is. He's much better. And like
I can be fair. I can be fair. I'll give you two.
Is full of crap right backs. That's the problem. There isn't many decent right backs in the league. Not because Klein's any good, but just because there's no decent right backs.
Yeah, Maicon at Man City. He's the best. Maicon at Man City. He's the best right back in the league.
Maicon. Yeah. He's not been playing for Man City for, 20 years or so?
What happened to him? He come in...
Yeah.
He went
to Roma, didn't
he? Did he?
Yeah.
Because he was meant to be the next best thing, weren't he?
Yeah. Zabaleta was just
too
on
good.
Fire then, wasn't he?
Mm.
What a player he was. What's happened to him? Why can't he get in the team? I don't understand it.
Injured,
Sanya's crap.
I think.
No, I think he got dropped for Sanya, didn't he?
I hope not, because Zabaleta's pure awesome.
Oh, I love Zabaleta. Now, him, I could watch play all day, because he doesn't give up on anything, does he?
He's a classy player, definitely.
Yeah.
Well,
and where were we, anyway?
You was just moaning about Klein, and I was defending him.
Yeah, okay. He just worries me defensively. He still gets caught out of position. But, you know, there's, like you said, you're right, though, there isn't many better fullbacks in the league, but that's not because he's that good. It's just there isn't.
But I don't think he needs replacing. It's the least of our worries.
He wouldn't
right
be
now.
The first choice to replace. No, I've said that. He's not one I'd be. Not because he's that good, but just because there isn't anybody out there to replace him anyway. So what's the point?
It's the goalie and the centre-back that needs replace. Well...
Goalie's got to be...
Yeah. And I was thinking about what about... I was thinking, could we tempt Hugo Lloris away?
Why? Why would he leave them? They're looking
good. I know, I'm just thinking, could we tempt him away?
I doubt it. I don't think that's who... I don't think Klopp would look at him anyway. He'd be far too expensive. If anybody was going to go buy him, it would be United to replace De Gea, because he'd love to go there. Don't know why. But
what sort of price would you reckon they'd put on him?
they don't need to sell. So
yeah, but
you'd
if
be
they
talking
did,
20 odd million.
Yeah, I reckon he could be gone for 17.
Yeah, but why spend that when you could go and buy one of the good young German keepers for half that much?
True.
Anyway, what else about the game? The penalty, bad mistake by Taylor, in my opinion. Pinned his back, ball hit his hand. Okay, I can see it's soft, and by the laws of the game, shouldn't have been a penalty. But at the same thought, he shouldn't have turned his back. So you're an idiot. Put your arms up. If you got your arms in an unnatural position, which they are, because he puts his arms up to protect his face, yet he's turned his back. So why have his arms up?
Oh, I should just say I've not seen the game, so it's down to you.
Just take it head on. Just man up and just run in and take it in the face. If need be, if it's going to hit you, it hits you. But that's your job. You know what I mean? You're being paid thousands of pounds a week. The least you can do is get it in the face with a football, which isn't exactly hard these days. You know what I mean? It's not like the old days when they were the really heavy things. So, yeah. What else from the game? Oh, yeah. Chan filled in for Lucas at the defensive midfield role. He had a good game. Very good game. Yeah, admittedly, to be honest, the defence had them in their pocket all game. It wasn't really like that until the end, when they were throwing everything forwards and brought on Montero, who tore Klein a new one, which is why I'm saying I'm not keen on him. If he could cross today, they could have had a few, because Klein couldn't handle him at all. Didn't have a clue, and which is understandable, because Montero, when he's on form, his pace is just unreal, isn't it? And his quality, he's got some skills, that lad. But yeah, luckily for us, he wasn't able to put in any decent crosses or anything. So, but the defence as a rule, as a whole, and the main weren't troubled today. I mean, Swansea just didn't look like they were going to score, to be honest. I'm not even sure if they hit the target of anything. I'm trying to think. I don't remember them hitting the target with a shot, you know, having a shot on target in the entire match. I honestly can't remember them having a shot on target.
So was that good defending?
They were awful. They were awful, to be fair, but we weren't allowing them to be good. There was a lot of harrying and pressing, and you know how bad they've been confidence-wise, and it showed today. They just didn't know what to do. They just didn't have a clue. It was, I'd have to put that down partly to us playing well. I really would. Because we just didn't give them the chance. If you give them time and space and you allow them to settle and to pass it around and build up their confidence, they can be dangerous. We didn't allow them that, so they didn't get the chance to build up their confidence, and we basically outplayed them most of the game. And the good news is both Henderson and Sturridge came back as well and played some part in the game. Which is why I was asking about Benteke, actually, because today I thought he was a little bit on the static side again. Not terrible, but I want to see a bit more from him.
Think he's still unfit?
I don't know. I just think I can see why Klopp chooses Firmino to play up front when we're up against a better side. Because against the other side, he doesn't move. If he can't push them over, if he can't bully them,
hold on there, mate.
He doesn't really
hold on, Tristan.
Anything again, really, to be honest.
Hold fire.
He's too busy to
stop talking. Can you hear me? Hello.
Yeah.
Gone tits up, mate. Bear with it. You'll have to say all that again. Right, yeah. It was my Skype, it disconnected, and then it says connecting again. Right, yeah, so rewind sort of 30 seconds and carry on, mate.
Which bit should I start from, the Benteke bit? Right, yeah, with Benteke, the reason why I was asking you about how you saw him when you were actually at the game on Bordeaux was today I could see why Klopp tends to go for Firmino when we're facing one of the better sides because he offers more movement. And Benteke just wants to bully people physically. He just wants to overpower them. And, you need more than that. You can bully them and have movement as well, and he needs to learn to do both. He seems like he just wants to push them over, you know what I mean, and fight with them. And it's not in the way Diego Costa's doing it, where he's just literally trying to kick them and punch them and bite them and scratch them, whatever he's doing. Not in that kind of fight. I mean, physically intimidate them. It's like he wants to be Didier Drogba, but he's only doing half of the job.
Yeah.
You know, he's not providing. He is moving into the channels, but not in the same way. He's not. It's half hearted. It seems a bit half hearted. So you might, you did say, I don't know whether that's got picked up or not on this one, whether we've had to go back and lost that. But you did mention you wonder if he's fully fit, and I don't think he is fully fit from the way he plays, because he's not putting himself about, running the channels enough to suggest to me that he's absolutely 100% tip-top shape. He looks like he's playing within himself a little bit,
Yeah.
So,
how does Sturridge look when he come on?
Lively, actually. Very lively. Showed some good... He didn't get enough of the ball to really trouble them and get a chance or anything. But he did, he was offering a lot more. He was pulling out wide and that. To be fair to Benteke, though, I've got to say, there's one thing for a carry, I was just thinking about it then. There was a lot of the channels were being run by people like James Milner in the early game, before Sturridge came on. So maybe he was just not getting the opportunity to make those runs because there was already somebody else making them. Because Firmino had gone off by the time Sturridge came on. Firmino was replaced by Henderson. And, Firmino was making those wide runs. Him and Milner would... were pulling out wide all the time and, trying to overload the wide areas all the time. When Firmino went off, that kind of died down a bit. So there was the space out there for Sturridge to exploit. So, maybe that's why Benteke wasn't doing it. And I don't have a problem if he's been instructed to stay central and provide a focal point, and that's why he's doing it. But it does seem like when you're watching it, you think, if he'd just move another 5 yards to the left or to the right, depending on where the ball is, if he'd just move a bit further over, he's making them have to think about what they're doing positionally. You know what I mean? He's making them consider their position. I mean, sometimes you only need to go 2 or 3 yards. You just need to move slightly, a bit more out of central there. Still, you don't need to go outside the 18-yard box. You still, you want, when you're just playing a lone striker like that, who's a big target man, you want him to stay always inside the 18-yard box. But you want to see him just move 2-3 yards out, slightly off sometimes, just to make a little run, just to make them think, is he going to stay central all the time? Just enough to make them think all the time, and he doesn't really do enough of that. And there was one point where Milner got in behind on the left and cut the ball back across. Well, I think it was an attempted shot, if I remember rightly, and he hit it across. And not one play. If somebody had got into the 6-yard box and really gone at it, they could have turned that in. That's an early goal. And if I remember rightly, it was right at the beginning. It was early in the first half. And I just thought, that should be in the back of the net. But nobody actually went in with conviction. And that was the point where I started taking more notice of him, because I thought, that's where you want him to be. And I was watching him, I was thinking, he just wants to stand on a defender and bully them. He doesn't want to, most of the time he only looks to make moves when when the ball's being played to the wide, outside. He makes the move to run onto the ball rather than makes the run for the ball, if you see what I mean. He seems to be making the run when he's, after the ball's played, he's running onto where he's seen the ball being played.
Yeah.
Rather than making up the attack, when a player's running forward with the ball, he's not making the option for him. He's letting them pick the option. And I want to see him more doing the movement for them to play in. Because I know he can do that. I've seen him do it for Aston Villa. And when he does that, he's devastating because he's got so much pace and so much strength that well, who's going to stop him not being funny? He's bigger and stronger than just about any player out there. So if you give him the ball and he's moving at pace, it's like Yaya Toure when he runs to, you know, when he's on one of the runs and players just bounce off him. He's got that same kind of physicality. So if he gets the ball at pace and runs it, you know, and he's running onto it, don't be able to stop him. So I want to see him do that more. And he can do it because it just worries me that beating rather than forcing, you know, he's not making the play, he's allowing other people to do it for him, reacting to it. And that's a worry for me because I think the best team always anticipate rather than react.
Fair enough.
Does that make sense?
Yes, I get what you're saying.
Yeah. So it's good to see Henderson take back the armband as well.
That was my next question, strangely enough. So Milner was still on the pitch, was he?
Yeah, he came on for Firmino just before Sturridge. He didn't really get a chance to show what he could do, but he did some good work. Like,
good.
Got involved in the play and that. Yeah, it was good to see him back. He looked a little bit rusty at times when there was a few bits of defending where everyone looked a bit like they didn't know what they were doing at one point, which is the closest Swansea came to scoring was our defence just at the end, just seemed to lose the plot after the substitutions, and Henderson looked a bit rusty, like he didn't know where he should be, and you know, there was a lot of players running around.
Did he bottle any tackles or did he get stuck in?
No, he didn't bottle any time, but he didn't really have any time. Swansea don't really give you that opportunity, do they? It's not the way they play. So you don't really have any crunching tackles because Shelby wasn't starting.
No,
so
I was just wondering how, you know, if he worried about his toe at all.
No, he didn't show any signs of that. Oh, there was one point. The reason that reminds me, right at the end, this was one reason why Klein worries me. At one point, I think it was a corner they had, and he broke down the right flank, and he's running down the right flank, but then he just runs out of ideas. And rather than play a simple pass back, you could see he didn't have a clue what to do. Rather than play the simple pass, keep the ball, and get back into position, because there's nobody on our right flank at all. Nothing. It's absolutely empty. And Montero stood there waiting for the ball, like in 40 yards of space. He loses the ball trying to run down the left flank. And then we're left exposed. It's like I said, Montero couldn't cross today. Couldn't cross the road if he had the chance to today. He just wasn't able to. He was cut because he only came on as a substitute. And that was when it just hammered home to me that the players still need to learn that somebody should have been there, either Henderson or Milner or Chan, they should have been at right back. When Klein's breaking up the left flank, nobody was responding and saying, I need to check. Skirtle, no one. I mean, Skirtle was still staying in his position. He wasn't in a bad position. And that's not, I don't want to take him out because he didn't have a bad game at all. But he should have been telling someone to get over there if nobody was getting over there, you know what I mean? There just wasn't anybody reacting. So it wasn't, I'm not trying to blame him because it wasn't just him, but he's the nearest guy to that position who should be shouting over. And nobody reacted. This was the thing that scared me, is that nobody reacted at all, that he's breaking down the left and nobody says, hang on, that's our right back there. You know, I was always taught that if you see your
Colo right wouldn't let that happen.
Yeah, exactly. Colo came on for the last couple of minutes. And, you know, he stayed fairly close to the right.
Can I just say, on Thursday, Colo was absolutely awesome.
I like Colo, Toure.
He was very, very good on Thursday.
When he plays on the right side of defence, I always think he's fine. I'm not going to worry about him. He's got a really good attitude as well. So, yeah, I mean, he was excellent then. And he came on and things calmed down. That was it, and he just killed off the game, to be honest. I was like, he stayed close to Montero and that was the game over. because he was their threat. Like I said, this is why I mean Klein is definitely a weak link, because they brought on Montero straight away to attack him. You know, they could see that he just couldn't cope with... Admittedly, I don't think anybody can cope with his pace, to be fair, but... Yeah, but that, I mean, that one point, but all he had to do, play the simple pass, then get back into position. It's in the second half, towards the end, you're 1-0 up, you're a right back. If you're not, you know, or at least have a look and see, you know, yeah, have a look and see. There was no options ahead of him, really. There was nothing to do. So just stay, you know, just keep hold of the ball at that point. Sometimes you just got to stop and think. And but why was nobody reacting? That's not just Klein. Why was nobody reacting and filling in that right back spot? Because Skrtel has to come over and cover eventually. You know, when the ball's played out there, as it immediately was by Swansea. You know, Skrtel's got to then pull out of the centre to fill in a space that should have been someone. You know, that's where Lucas, I would say, put money on it that Lucas wouldn't have left the gap there. He'd have already been, he'd have taken one look and said, hang on, that's our right back going up there on the left wing, before he'd lose the ball, and he'd have edged over to the right. Immediately cover. He might not have dropped in at right, I'm not saying he'd have dropped in at right back and suddenly done a stint, but he would have immediately started, he'd have immediately had a look over and said, oh, hang on a sec, there's players out there in acres of space. If this ball does break down, we're in trouble here. And he'd have edged over there. You know, he'd have got himself over on the cover and at least attempted to block a pass, if not get dropping at a right back. He'd have done something in that respect. That was the one point where I thought Chan looked like he wasn't, you know, he wasn't anticipating danger. He was more looking at what he could do to get involved in the build-up of play, which showed that's why... You know, a defensive midfielder role is such a specialised position, because they should always, their first thought should always be, what's the defence doing? You know, where's the gaps? Where do I need to be defensively before they look at where, you know, what can they do to get involved in the play? You see what I mean? At 1-0 up in particular, the last thing you want your defence doing is all charging upfield at 1-0 up. At 1-0 down, fair enough, but 1-0 up, with, I think it was like 10 minutes to go at that point as well, you know, you just think, oh God, please don't. Don't you just have these visions of something ending up getting bobbling into the back of the net? And yeah, that was the point that showed me that Chan needs a lot more work before he's ready to take over that role. He's not offensively minded enough just yet.
Fair enough. So, at the end of the day, it's 3 wins in a row after the international break.
We were better side in all 3 games as well, was the good thing.
Yep, so everything looking good at the minute. Is there anything else you'd like to discuss? Because we've gone over an hour.
I don't know. Is there any other decent... I was trying to think. Is there anything... I was trying to think what's happened in the last. It's been so long since we've done one. I was trying to think.
Jamie Vardy.
I mean, did you know that football was invented before the Premier League started? Because I didn't know that from watching it this week. You know, when I'm talking about Jamie Vardy breaking the record, even though he hasn't. He's only broken the Premier League record.
Yeah, but the Premier League's a whole different ball game.
Fantastic. Yeah, it's not as good as what was there before. It's got to be said. The quality of football is not as good. It's more exciting, but it's not as good as in the players aren't as good. Definitely this season it's dropped off. But Vardy is definitely better than people are giving him credit for. He's worked so hard on his game, and Leicester fully deserved to be up there. It's brilliant to watch, and like certain other teams you could mention in the top four, in particular Man United, who are just put you to sleep.
Yeah.
I have actually fallen asleep watching them this season on more than one occasion. I've never fallen asleep during a football match. I just, you know, I'm too into it. I'm always shouting at the ref or whatever, even, no matter who's playing. I can't help myself. I get involved. And I'm watching them, and I'm just there, and I can feel my eyes drooping and that. But you don't get that with Leicester. They're fantastic to watch. They're not, you know, they don't keep possession. None of this tiki-taka stuff for them. It's just get the ball and go at them. And Riyad Mahrez and Jamie Vardy have been excellent for them.
Yeah, I'm happy for him.
Definitely. I hope he breaks the full record, you know, the proper record.
13, isn't it? 12.
Yeah, 12 by what's his done from 1932 or something, wasn't it? Yeah, I hope he does it. I really do. And then he can properly celebrate. Because that would be a really fantastic
Who is their next game? Next game is...
They've got another hard one.
No, they haven't played Swansea.
Oh, is it Swansea next? I thought it was Man City. Oh, no, isn't it Man City, the one after, the one where he'd make it to 13, the new record?
No, it's Chelsea.
Chelsea. I knew it was...
I got Swansea, Chelsea, Everton, Liverpool.
Yeah, see, their run's gone from... They've played mostly weaker sides like Man United and that, so now it starts to get difficult for them.
Yeah.
Sorry, I couldn't resist that one. I know I'm going to get some stick for that last now about the weaker sides, but you can't resist that one, can you? No. It's dreadful. They're so far up.
What else is in the news we can discuss?
Your best player's got a hamstring injury, i.e. Coutinho's carrying a bit of a knock, Klopp rests him. When your star man's got a hamstring injury and your name's Arsene Wenger, you put him in the starting lineup until he goes off injured. Clever. Alexis Sanchez, where will Arsenal be without him?
They wouldn't be too far. I just see their injury list on Facebook. It's getting longer and longer.
It's their own fault. It happens every season because they don't look after their players right. Mm. When you've got Alexis Sanchez, he thrives on fast sprints. He constantly charges up and down at helter-skelter. If he's carrying a hamstring problem, the last thing you can do is put him in the team. It is that simple. So if he gets injured, it's your own fault. You fully deserve to lose him, I'm afraid. I bet he must... God, could you imagine him in our team now with Klopp? Yeah, sorry, anyway.
In other news... Li-Fi is 100 times faster than Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Yeah, how will it work? What that means in reality is your ISP will tell you you're getting your internet up to 100 times faster, but what they'll actually give you will be the same one you had before. Isn't that the usual?
No, I mean, I'm just reading about it. It's a bit mental, isn't it? So obviously it cuts out the fibre and fibre optic, and it's run through visual. So you plug in one of these light bulbs, and it sends it through the light waves, yeah, instead of the microwaves or radio waves.
Yeah.
But then I wonder what happens if you put a sheet of paper over your computer. And light doesn't penetrate. Do you know what I mean? So
you mean something, yeah, something that light doesn't penetrate. Yeah,
that's
you got
it.
A problem. I don't know if it does go through it or
your Wi-Fi would go off when you turn off your light to go to sleep.
That would be annoying because you wouldn't be able to switch the lights off at night. That would be frustrating.
Oh, they need to work this out, don't they? They need to hire me. But apart from that, I'm scraping the barrel for news this week. Oh, Tyson Fury. What do you want to say about that? What a legend.
Yeah, you've already heard me ranting about the worst heavyweight title fight in probably the history of the world ever. God's sake. I actually got to admit, I spent the first 8 rounds, just saying, why isn't he using his right hand at all with Klitschko? He just wasn't throwing a punch. I honestly was wondering if his right hand was smashed or something because he just wasn't using it. I think he threw 3 punches in the first 8 rounds or something ridiculous like that with his right hand. I mean, how... It's a heavyweight title on the line and you throw three punches for you. I mean, there's just something wrong there. It was just the most abysmal fight of all time, and Tyson Fury is the worst heavyweight champion in the history of the world ever. It's just an awful fighter. He's got lucky. It just explains why David Haye's come out of retirement. I'm surprised Muhammad Ali's not thinking of lacing up his gloves again, because he could probably win the title at the moment of heavyweight. God, it's just embarrassing.
Yeah, but don't worry, because Anthony Joshua's on his way. And that bloke is somewhat special.
Well, yeah, I just hope he doesn't let it go to his head and that, because he is a fantastic, you know, he is definitely a class act of a player, of a fighter even.
What else is in the news? I think that's it, isn't it?
I can't think of anything else. I haven't been looking at the news, to be honest. I didn't know we were going to be doing news.
Well, I thought we've been away for so long.
You just want to make certain people know that you exist, you know, that it's real and it is, like, done now rather than...
Yeah, they got to know.
6 months ago.
That's it. We predicted all the results.
Yeah, we just recorded 30 of them, and whichever one happened to be right, we used...
Right, do the jingle, and then we'll wrap it up.
Oh, yes, you've got to do that. What? Benny Baller's joke of the week. Can't quite do it as badly as you, but I try.
Oh, it gets more cringeworthy each time. Because you say it with more confidence each time, which makes it worse each time. Right. A family are driving behind a garbage truck when a dildo flies out and thumps against a windscreen. Embarrassed and to spare her young son's innocence, the mother turns around and says, "Don't worry, that was just an insect." To which her son replies, "I'm surprised it could get off the ground with a cock like that." Oh, I love it. I love it. On that bombshell.
It
was brilliant. Yeah, guess we caught it there then. 1 hour, 12 minutes. Right. We apologise for not doing it regularly enough, but I'm a very professional person.
Now you've got your internet back on, we'll get on it a bit more.
Internet's back on, yeah. And you're all settled now down your side. So we'll get some more. There's no international breaks for 2 months as well. So that's a bonus.
Because I hate them.
I hate them. So that's a bonus. We can... sort of do this every Sunday now. We'll stay on top. Our next game we'll be covering then will be...
Oh, this is professional, this. Oh, this is pure professionalism.
I don't see you coming up with the answer.
This is like James Richardson and his peak.
You ain't coming up with no answer. It's the second? Oh, it's the League Cup. Okay. Southampton, Liverpool. In 3 days' time. Oh, that's pretty nasty, isn't it? We played on the 26th, 29th, and 2nd.
Yeah, let's just hope we don't suffer like Spurs did today. Because they looked dead on their feet by 60 minutes.
That's
fine. To be fair, they travelled a long way, hadn't they? So probably more that than anything else that cost.
Yeah, but this is still naughty, playing on the Thursday, Sunday, Wednesday.
I don't see that as a problem, personally. I think players should be able to...
Especially when you've got to travel from... You're travelling from Liverpool to Southampton and then to Newcastle.
It's not that far. They should be able to do that. Sorry, they're just not... The problem is a lack of fitness.
Yeah, and then 4 days after... 4 days after the Southampton game is Newcastle game. 4 days after that, we're flying out to Sion. 3 days after that, we're playing West Brom. Wow.
That's why we got a squad.
Yeah, we
should be fit enough to take it. You just rest them and put other people in if they get too tired.
Yeah, but when you look at it like that, it's a bit mental, isn't it?
No, I think it's how it should be. I just think there's a problem with the fitness of the players. If you look at some of the other sports, tennis players, for instance, in an individual sport, which is hard work, and tennis players, I don't like tennis in the slightest, so I hate to use them as an example. They're the first one that comes to mind. They play for a week. And they're playing every day. You know, and their tournaments, they're like a week, 2 weeks long, whatever they are. And they're playing every day. Then, and then they're, you know, when they, when they're not playing, they're not taking time off and just sitting around. They're usually training and practicing.
Yeah.
You know I mean, the fitness, the basic human fitness should be there to play every day, even a football match. You might not be completely 100% at your peak, but you should be able to play to a decent, to a professional level every day of the week if need be. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to train every day. Mm. You know, the problem is they train them like sprinters, not endurance athletes. That's what's gone wrong. That's why they're getting injuries, and that's why they're not able to keep up the fitness, because they're not training in the correct manner. You look at these people doing the marathons day after day after day. You know, people doing 7 in a week on these things. They manage it. Some of their times are excellent as well. You know, it's surprising the times they can manage to put in. The human body is capable of it. The problem is they're not being trained in the right way. It's one of my pet hates, to be honest, is the way they're trained. Train them like a sprinter, they'll pick up injuries all the time because they've not got the long distance ability, the stamina, I mean, the endurance to cope. Train them like an endurance athlete and they'll be fine.
Fair enough. I'm sure Klopp knows what he's doing with our boys.
Yeah, I'm sure he does. And he'll rest them anyway if they get tired, because he won't be afraid to put kids in and that.
I've got literally, we're going to finish now. I've just got one question for you. Two questions.
Uh-oh.
First club that comes to your head, okay? Who's going to win the Premier League?
City. Still going to be Man City.
Who are going to get relegated?
It will be Villa, Bournemouth and Newcastle. And then he missed out Newcastle. Definitely Newcastle and Villa. They're awful. And Bournemouth just aren't good enough. I know they got a good result against Everton, but that was more Everton just folding, to be honest, rather than them playing well. That was the Roberto Martinez effect in full flow, that they conceded so many. Did you hear what Adam Smith is supposed to have said after the game?
Is that the bloke that scored that worldie?
He scored one of their goals, I think.
Yeah,
he said after the game, they spoke to the referee after the Everton goal had gone in, you know, the 95th, 96th minute, whatever it was, and they said to him, how long's left? The Bournemouth players said to him, and he said, that's it. The ref told them that was it. So they thought they were just going to kick off and he's going to blow the whistle. they managed to get up the other end and score. That didn't go down too well. So, yeah. That's kind of worrying, though, when the ref's saying to him, that's it, but then plays another minute, or whatever it was. Yeah, that's kind of odd. Why say that's it if it isn't it?
God knows. Right, we'll call it there, then. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back next Sunday, then, with a recap of the Carling Cup win, and the...
Hopefully.
And the... I've forgotten already now. Who are we playing at the weekend? Newcastle? No. Yeah. I think so.
You said Newcastle, yeah.
Yeah, Newcastle. Southampton to Newcastle. Right, we'll tune in then. Say goodbye.
We should be able to... God, I hope we beat them.
Ooh, Newcastle? No. The way it goes, that'll be their turn around in fortunes. And
yeah,
be
don't us. Say that. That's the way it's been in the past.
That's how it always is against Liverpool.
Yeah, right. Let's hope not.
Right. Good night, everyone. Cheers for listening. Right.